This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Oklahoma Congressman James Lankford, a freshman Republican from the Sooner State's 5th Congressional District. We want to get his reactions to the first State of the Union address he was able to hear as a member of Congress and talk about some of the key issues facing the nation. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
You called the speech generic in your comments to some of the local media back in your home state. What was it about the speech that underwhelmed you?
Well, it was underwhelming in that it was the same thing that we've heard before. I compared it somewhat. I was expecting to go eat steak, and I ended up eating leftovers because it was the same themes of we need to invest in America, which means spending more. And you talked about we're going to have hard decisions to make, but really the debt reduction package that he's talking about is $400 billion over the next 10 years. Well, we have a $1.5 trillion deficit every year, so that's not going to help. That's not real reduction, and that's not going to get us even close. So I was a little frustrated. I expected him to come out and say it's time for bold decisions and bold answers, and we got none of that.
You are a member of the Budget Committee, and of course your chairman gave the Republican response, Congressman Ryan, and you've also had hearings today and throughout the early days of this 112th Congress about how to address all this. What in general is the Republican alternative going to be here in tackling some of these big fiscal questions?
Well, as strange as it sounds, we're kind of a kitchen sink vote on this. We want to throw out as many different options as we can, and let's start the debate. But the debate can't be just a, hey, let's pick one or two programs. We're past that time. Congress 20 years ago could have debated that, and they didn't. Now we've got to throw everything out, and let's have a hard debate about, okay, what has to be done? And you'll see, like a Republican Study Committee, we've thrown out almost 100 options. And some of them the Democrats are going to hate, and they're going to say, no, we have to protect that. Well, our response is going to be, we have to get the debt down. So these are our options. What are yours? Bring something specific to the table. And let's start the process.
The majority of the budget, of course, is entitlements, and those are very touchy subjects. We saw what some of the recommendations from the Debt Commission inspired in terms of very fierce reactions about pushing back Social Security eligibility later into the people's 60s and that sort of thing. So with that being such a huge percentage of the budget, what are some ideas being discussed on how to reform those in a way that is doable and practical?
Well, we've got to do it, and that becomes the issue. If we just continue to ignore Social Security and Medicare, then basically we're saying to the grandchildren of all of the people that are involved right now, your grandchildren will not have Social Security and will not have Medicare. And I've yet to run into someone who says, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, have it for me, but my grandchildren won't. So there is an interest in saying, all right, how do we get to this point? I mean, take this all the way back. Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan were negotiating these issues about Social Security and Medicare and such back in the early 1980s. This is not some new thing, but everyone's known for a long time. We have to deal with this. Now we have to deal with it.
We're talking with Oklahoma Congressman James Lankford, represents Oklahoma's 5th Congressional District, and served prior to coming to Congress for a little over a dozen years. You were the director of a Christian camp in Oklahoma, the largest Christian camp in the nation, and doing that obviously requires some financial responsibility. So I want to talk to you about your previous experience from a couple of different perspectives. First of all, just in keeping the financial house in order, what lessons do you bring to Congress from that experience?
How about this simple lesson? You can only spend the money that you have. You can't spend more money than actually what you're bringing in. So you've got to be able to plan ahead and to be able to budget. Congress budgets in a really crazy way. I'm sure everybody can see that. But they basically come with a big fat wish list and say, this is what we're going to do this next year, and now we've got to figure out some way to pay for it, instead of doing it the way they should do it, and that is to say, here's how much money we have. What can we do with that? So it is exactly opposite. And quite frankly, we're not going to solve the budget issues until we resolve some systemic issues of how we actually do the budget process. And that's one of the things I know Paul Ryan's very passionate about as well, and to say we have a problem in just how we do it, period. It's not going to get better until we fix the process.
And then in terms of just the small business community, your Christian camp was a little bit unique in some ways in terms of being job creators, but I'm sure you had to do that to a large extent. So
absolutely.
When you heard the president talk last night with grand sweeping visions and encouraging people to innovate and out-innovate other countries and so forth, some people thought that was kind of high on rhetoric and maybe not so heavy on nuts and bolts. What are the keys to making that actually work?
Well, keys to making that actually work is actually the rhetoric that he was putting out there about American innovation and job creation and small businesses and large and all of those things were great. I thought they were terrific platitudes, and that's exactly what is true. What was interesting to me is in one moment he would talk about the free market and would talk about the Wright brothers and would talk about all these things and say all this inventive spirit of Americans. And then the next moment he would say, but we can't have that happen again unless the federal government gets involved. It's almost like the American dream in his perspective is gone. Of a small business can grow and function without federal government help. His perspective is now it needs federal government loans. Now it needs federal government help, or this is never going to happen again. I just don't agree that the federal government has to be involved in every business and every innovation out there, or it's not going to work.
What are business owners in your district telling you? What's going to make them have the incentive to add more people to their payrolls?
You know what's funny? The majority of the business owners in my area that I listen to, they say the same thing. They say, get the federal government off of me. Just make it stop. Make the number of regulations stop, make the frequency of regulations stop. They want to do business. They want to do it the right way. They want to do it ethically. But every time they turn around, there's a new rule, and they just can't keep up with it. When businesses are spending 10% of their money just on compliance officers and working on federal compliance, that's ridiculous. It's an additional tax. Basically, every business has their corporate tax plus a compliance officer tax.
Another committee you're a member of is the Transportation Committee, and the president also made another pitch for infrastructure, which was a major part of his stimulus pitch a couple years ago as well. What's your approach to infrastructure as a means of providing more jobs down the pike, and what role the government should have in that?
Well, it's interesting. Infrastructure is one of those few areas that I think there's common agreement to say if you build more roads and if you maintain more roads, a business, when you put in a road, you know, restaurants come along that road, businesses start along that road, you do start expanding opportunities for new businesses based on having quality infrastructure. The problem is how the federal highway dollars are being handled now. We're siphoning it off. There's a portion being dedicated now towards mass transit and a portion being dedicated towards bike trails and towards sidewalks. We're siphoning off the federal dollars that have been allotted from the 18.4 cents per gallon gas tax. It's not going into highways and bridges anymore. It's now going to bike trails. So let's get back to funding highways and bridges and towards infrastructure. And if a city wants to do a bike trail, let that city do a bike trail, but we shouldn't take federal highway dollars to be able to do that. And so that would help solve the issue. He's talking about adding a lot of additional dollars. I'm talking about using the dollars wisely that we have.
Congressman, you've been in office exactly 3 weeks today. Now that you've had 3 weeks to get your feet wet, do you find the challenges confronting you and your colleagues more daunting, less daunting? Or are you more or less optimistic as you get a greater handle on what the problems are and what it's going to take to deal with them?
Well, I can tell you the farther we go into this, the more we see the problems in the budget area. It's interesting to get into the inside of it and start digging through the internal budget numbers, and you realize how bad it really is and how this has been mismanaged for a very long time. I've heard people talking about the debt ceiling and how to handle the debt and all these things, and I'll look at it, and they'll say things to me like, okay, let's just cut off the UN, let's cut off the arts, let's cut off these, and that'll solve it. And I've said to them, that doesn't even get us close to solving it. You know, dealing with a $1.5 now trillion deficit every year that's coming up, if you cut all of Social Security and all of the defense, you're still not there. We have a long way to go to be able to solve this, and it's really, really bad, and we've got to get to work on it.
Last question before we let you go. Given those dire conditions and obviously the partisan divide that exists right now, what do you hope to reasonably accomplish this year in this Congress?
Well, hopefully we can get budget to actually plateau and start going down rather than continue to accelerate. The president's proposal last night was basically keep the 2010 budget, which is that, you know, $1.5 trillion deficit budget, just keep that going longer. I absolutely disagree. Hopefully we can start bending the curve down or flattening it out and saying, okay, we're not increasing our debt, and then start working our way down. This is going to be a long-term issue. And so that's what I hope to get started first, is to say, let's bend the curve, and then let's keep working on it. And then, quite frankly, hopefully in the days to come, we'll have a different president that we're working with in 2 years and a different Senate that we're working with, and we can get serious about actually dealing with our debt issues.
A lot of major debates to come in the coming weeks. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us. We look forward to checking back in with you.
Very welcome. Thank you.
Absolutely. Oklahoma Republican Congressman James Lankford represents his state's 5th Congressional District, member of both the House Budget and Transportation Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.